Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, here we go. It's a Friday afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. I have not yet plugged my headphones in, so I'm going to try that as a professional broadcaster, not exactly knowing what he's doing on a Friday afternoon. Hi, Jane. Why don't you take over while I get settled here?
Oh, I'm doing great. We have sunshine, which is incredible.
Yes.
And Jeff Smith is late. I know.
Well, there's something new, right?
Yeah, that's shocking.
I don't know what to do about that. I'm, you know, like
the punishment has already been imposed.
Well, that's true.
So
that
you really, true. There's not really much you can do. Look, there he is. There he is. He's in the house.
He's not late.
Hang on a second here. Okay, now I got the headphones in. John Lamping is here, former State Senator John Lamping. How are you?
I'm Mark. I'm great.
Great to see you. And former State Senator Jeff Smith is also here now as well. Hi, Jeff.
Good to be here.
Good to have you here on time. Thank you, Ethan, for opening up the windows. Let's get rolling here. Sue, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
It is beautiful. Did you get out there today and enjoy that weather at all?
No, because I'll tell you what. It was windy this morning.
Yeah. It was chilly
this
morning.
Oh, it was a little windy.
It was. But I will be out tomorrow and the next day.
Do you know on Christmas Day it's going to be 70 degrees?
I saw that, Jane.
That's great.
I'm like, have I entered an alternate universe?
I love it.
It's unbelievable.
I'm going to be sitting on my deck. On Christmas Day. There's nothing better than
that. I love it. I'll have a little fire going in the fire pit. It'll still be a little, you know, a little chilly, so that'll be good. I look forward to it. All right, so we got a lot of stuff to talk about here this afternoon. And let me start just with the Brown University stuff, because this is so confusing and baffling to me. I left the air yesterday, and it looked like they were zeroing in on this suspect. But I don't know how much you guys have had a chance to look at some of the details of this today, but you have a situation where literally, Sue, you remember the dude that, you know, they said was a person of interest
Yes.
when they showed his face, right?
Yes.
And they, like, he's not the suspect, but he might know something about the suspect. So that's literally a homeless, you can't even make this up. That's a homeless dude that is living in the basement of one of the buildings at Brown University. Not only that, but he solves the case essentially right from the beginning.
Oh,
right from the
gosh.
Beginning. This dude living in a basement of a building solves the case, because here's what he does. He goes on Reddit And he says this, I'm being dead serious. The police need to look into a gray Nissan with Florida plates, possibly a rental. That was the car he was driving. It was parked in front of the little shack behind the Rhode Island Historical Society on the Cook Street side. I know because he used his key fob to open the car, approached it, and then something prompted him to back away. When he backed away, he relocked the car. I found that odd. So when he circled the block, I approached the car, and that's when I saw the Florida plates.
I love
he was
it.
Parked in the section between that's the gate of the RIHS and the corner of Cook and St. George Street. So this guy, he has it nailed right from the beginning. And what they do is, you know, because when this is what gets confusing. The dude at MIT gets murdered, but they say, no, there's no connection. How can there be a connection between that and what happened at Brown University? So they use the license plate readers, they figure out, because they finally, I guess, listened to this guy. They did finally track him down, and they said, hey, I've been putting this on Reddit. You guys maybe should have paid attention to that. And that's how they found this guy. So I don't think the police deserve much credit at all here. No. It's the dude living in the basement that solved the case for them.
I believe it's the influence of true crime podcasts, of which I'm a huge proponent. And I think everybody gets on the internet and they try to solve stuff. I mean, if you want something solved, you hand it over to the internet. And I'm telling you, people will go crazy for it. So,
it's
true.
But, Jane, you can't make this up as a movie.
It's amazing.
There's hundreds of cameras around, but not one in that building.
But they have to talk to each other or they don't do a lot of good.
Right, but the security is so heavy there that they have a homeless dude in the basement, a former student. I don't know how to even explain some of this. It's so bizarre. Now, John, I don't know if you're a conspiracy theorist on this, but it doesn't smell right, right?
No, I mean, I don't. This is an interesting narrative, and I think there's more information out there. We'll see if it happens or not. I, for one, though, I was really offended. They kept calling this guy the brown shooter, and it just sounded so racist to me.
Racist. Yeah, it's very racist to say that. Jeff Smith, any observations here about the brown shooter?
Yeah, I agree with John. I thought we got rid of DEI.
Yeah, I mean, but apparently not.
It's just a crazy story. It's a sad story.
I mean, Brown is the left of left school. It's $100,000 a year to go there, room and board. The fact that guy was living.
Expensive as Princeton.
No, it's not as expensive as Princeton.
You said you considered it, though, right, Brown?
Well, I was recruited to go there. I went on a recruiting trip there. But
John's a fancy Ivy League guy. Poking fun.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah. But my poor Mizzou background. Yeah,
I know. I'm just a working class. You know, I went to school basically in Missouri. Jane and I, if you just lived in Missouri and you went to high school, you got into Mizzou. That was all you needed, pretty much. That was it.
Absolutely. And they throw money at you. What is wrong with that?
I don't know. It's not the way it is now. All right, let's get into some other stuff here. We've solved that crime, but I think there are a lot of questions that will come out of Providence, Rhode Island. So, Jane, Sam Page, is he in court this afternoon or what's going on?
As we speak, he had a 1:30 court hearing trying to suppress the evidence of the contents of his phone. That's never a good position to be in. And he's trying to dismiss the indictment. So, okay. Because he disagrees with the facts that were set out by the Highway Patrol.
Okay, explain why. First of all, the reason that this is newsworthy this week is he made an announcement yesterday. He's not going to run for re-election. So we know that he will not have another term as county executive. But he is, you know, kind of fighting this charge that came up earlier this year. And that's what this court appearance is about.
Correct.
So you explained this a little bit. You were on the show yesterday. But explain to the audience what he's trying to defend himself against.
Yeah, he's trying to get the indictment dismissed, which never happens, and especially on a factual basis, because the Highway Patrol did a very significant report. They seized his phone. They interviewed all the employees. They got documents. I mean, you just look at the list of the evidence. We don't have all the evidence, the public, yet.
But he's accused of what specifically?
He's accused, basically, the felony is stealing. He used taxpayer dollars in order to further a political cause because he wanted to fight a proposition. And by statute, that's illegal. However, the Supreme Court has said that as long as you are educational and not advocacy for one side or another, then, you know, you could arguably use taxpayer dollars. Well, he completely advocated. His lawyer told him he did, and he ignored his lawyer. And so, you know, so it's stealing. It's basically using, I mean, Bill Webster, people just forget, like, as if this isn't real, but Bill Webster went to jail because he used a copy machine. A former attorney general. And because he used a copy machine to, you know, to run off some flyers, and because one of the employees watched his kid. So, I mean, so using taxpayer dollars, I mean, you know, so of course I was in the attorney general's office right after he left. And I mean, you wouldn't touch a pen. Like, you were told you never touch state property for any purpose other than state. Well, I mean, you know, people have to go to jail every once in a while. So people are reminded that you can't do that. So, you know, he had B is bad. He lied on the flyer, said it applied to the police when by charter, it's obvious that only the police board could fire the police chief. But he put the police in there because.
OK, so there's a lot. There's a lot.
There
going
is on facts.
Here. But Jane, as a former opponent of Sam Page in a primary, Jane's a little biased and maybe some of us are. But
I mean, it doesn't mean I'm wrong.
I'm not saying that. But Jeff, how would you break this down both politically and criminally? Because there's two aspects of it, right?
Yeah, I'm surprised Jane didn't take a victory lap before she went into all that about him.
I did
not
yesterday.
Again.
She did yesterday.
So I missed that.
Yeah.
But I think that the case is probably prosecutorial overkill. I think that probably the fact that he's now not running for re-election is likely to facilitate some resolution to the case short of him going to prison or anything like that. I assume that he will maybe plea to some lesser charge or, you know, something like that. That certainly isn't a felony. He skewed the information a little bit, you know, in the data that went to voters, and, you know, it was probably too cute by half. But nothing that warrants this level of taxpayer resources going out, you know, going to get him. And so I think that especially the fact that he decided that he's not running for re-election will probably mitigate whatever legal consequences there would have been. And I think now he can focus on governing for the last year of his term.
Wait. He's done that before?
He's decided he's going to do it now.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Regardless of the statement.
I don't know that I disagree with you on the prosecutorial overplay.
It means he cut a deal.
I don't think he cut a deal. If he cut a deal, why are they in Springfield in court today? I think that people are underestimating the attorney general.
So you think it's a more likely scenario that he could possibly be found guilty of this and even have prison time?
No. I think the chance of prison time is
minimal.
Slim to nil. Mm-hmm. I think what he needs to worry about is a felony, because then he loses his medical license and he, you know, the second job that he has now will no longer be able to
so
be the first
let me,
job.
Before I get to the break, because I want to kind of encapsulate all the St. Louis County stuff and then move on to some of the other national stuff. But would there be Senator Brian Williams is a declared candidate, Democrat.
You're going to see more candidates. Right.
So you have Dennis Hancock on the Republican side.
Mm-hmm. You're going to see more Democrats.
You will have more Democrats, yeah. Right. Will it be a wide open field, or do you think that Senator Williams has a clear advantage here because he's been raising money and kind of pointed toward this?
Yeah, he has a clear advantage because he got $800,000 in the bank, but you're going to see probably, you know, another experienced politician, Jake Zimmerman, the county assessor, you know, was in the state house, then county assessor, very smart guy. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he throws his hat in the ring, has, you know, integrity.
His name has been used, right?
Yeah.
He's a ginger, too.
He ran last time.
And so, third. You know, he's somebody who, you know, is well known to a lot of, you know, political people in the state. That said, assessor's not the easiest office to use as a jumping off point for higher office, because I don't remember the last time I heard someone get their assessment and say, oh, wow, that's lower than I thought it was going to be.
I love the tax man. Yeah.
So that's not always the easiest place. But he's an extremely smart guy and very substantive. And in any debate, I think will show that he knows as much about county policies as anybody out there. Doug Beck, who's the Senate minority leader, was just involved in, you know, a little bit of a leadership battle in the state Senate. Mm. And I think, you know, this might be a pivot for him to run for county executive. So I think, you know, if both of them get in, that's probably good for Brian Williams. So if they, you know, if the other, you know, people narrow it to one, then I think you'll have a closer race.
So John, I'm like in the camp that thinks a Republican's not going to win in St. Louis County. I've been very close to these races in the past, and it's just not going to happen. So I love Dennis Hancock. He was the mayor of where I live right now. But I don't see that as a realistic scenario. So I'd like to get someone competent in that office. Your thoughts on everything
you
just
said
here.
So when I heard Sam stepped out in my mind, because he was going to lose by a lot to Brian Williams. And actually the information Jeff just shared with all of us is actually, as a Republican, that's actually good news, because I think Brian Williams will prevail when it all is said and done. But I think he is the future for the Democratic Party statewide. I think so much of this man that he will be the county executive if he runs a good campaign and doesn't make mistakes.
And he doesn't.
So you like him a lot.
I like him a lot.
I mean, I got a chance to know him a few weeks ago because Jane took me out to lunch, and I was rather impressed as well.
No, I mean, I think it's very a lot. I mean, the fact that they're going to primary him, that's, you know, they have to do that kind of thing, and Jake will come from the left, and, you know, nothing like a left-leaning, a very far-left ginger to run for county executive. That'll do great, you know, and the Assessor is a great platform to run from. No, Brian Williams will be the next county executive, and then once he's the county executive, who's most powerful office in the Democratic Party in the state of Missouri?
It's Brian.
Brian Williams.
Yep.
And he's got, you know, he's got a great profile. He's a young enough guy.
Great relationships in Jefferson City.
As a Republican, I'll hope that he goes to Congress because that's where he'll go and never come back again. But
I hope he stays.
Yeah, of course you do hope, because that's your hope for the future. And I think it's a legitimate hope. I think he's very good. And I think he'll win, and then he'll be a leader in that party for a long time.
And the bar is really low. I mean, I hate to say that, but the bar is extremely low. St. Louis County, you know, $80 million deficit is in trouble.
I'm going to have to take his word for it because, you know, I know him very well. But look, he seemed genuinely interested in solving problems in St. Louis County. So
the best thing he ever said he's done with all the cultural issues. That has nothing to do with county government.
Hang tight. It's the Reardon Roundtable on a Friday, the final one of 2025.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron.
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, so we're here roundtable on a Friday afternoon. Jane Duker on the panel. Former state senators Jeff Smith and John Lamping. Sue is with us, of course, and we'll have Sue's news on a Friday. Jane's going to hang out in the 4 o'clock hour. This is our final roundtable of 2025. We're off for a couple of weeks when we return after the first of the year. A couple of audibles that I'm going to call here, panel, for some topics that I might not have had on the list, but I think you're going to be fine with chiming in. John, I'll start with you. It looks like the Kansas City Chiefs are moving to Kansas. I'm hearing from my friends on the other side of the state that this is pretty close to being a done deal. The Royals could also leave, but right now this is just for the Chiefs. There have been competing packages. Kansas has, I guess, written a big check or offered a lot more incentives. I'm sad by it. In the end, I don't know what does it mean for me because we're way over here, but I just feel like it kind of sucks, you know?
Yeah, but you know, so where we are is what the state of Kansas has is they've issued this thing called in the past for sports teams, in particular Sporting Kansas, something they call a star bond. So they create a taxing district, and And they try to have businesses be in the district that will benefit by things like the stadium or the soccer team and things like that. And they've been very, very generous with their sports owners. After about 10 years, Kansas actually gave the stadium to the sporting soccer team. So if you're a sports owner in the Missouri side of the Kansas state line border, you've looked over and you've seen where people have really profited by doing business with the state of Kansas. So it's my understanding is that agreement is pretty much done, but now it's whether or not do the Chiefs leadership, do they go to peak on Monday and look to, you know, really announce the deal or finalize the deal? So it looks like that's going to happen.
Are there, in the meantime, conversations with Governor Kehoe about any of this? Not that he can wave a magic wand, but are...
No, you know, apparently, I think what happened was, you know, Jackson County is where they are now, and then the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Lucas, right? So there was a proposal for the Royals to go downtown, and that got screwed up. And then the leadership in Jackson County didn't do a great job of, you know, communicating with the mayor or with the state. So there was a big breakdown in that. It's fun watching the Royals thing, too. You know, the Royals are trying to move to a suburb in Kansas that's as if they were moving the team to kind of like town and country. And I'm talking about Leawood. Mm-hmm. And that was in the works. It was an old Sprint company's campus. And then the community came out, as you might imagine, and were petitioned against it. So there's no necessary landing spot for them. That's a new ownership team who's investing more money in the team now than they have in decades. And there's a place in the Midwest that really is dying for a baseball team, and that's Nashville. So I think there's a lot of things that are falling into place in here now.
To me, this is maybe the wrong reason to be against it, but I get so annoyed, just as someone who's lived in Missouri for most of his life, that a lot of people around the country think that Kansas City is in Kansas. You know, that I know it is partially, but really the city of Kansas City is in Missouri, mm-hmm. and this just lets more people think that it's in Kansas. Again, in the end, as a fan of the Chiefs, does it really matter where the stadium is? I don't know.
Line.
I'm not crazy about offering the incentives for rich owners anyway.
Right.
But I mean, there's a part of me. Well, there's a part of me
that's
not
doing it.
No. I know that. But there's a part of me that is it just sad about it because, you know, that complex in particular is legendary. You know, and I understand times change and you need more room and they all want their new stadiums. But it's just a little sad. You know.
Yeah. No. It's like end of an era. I mean. Did we survive?
Yeah, here's another end of the year. This is another audible for us this afternoon. Mike Bush at Channel 5 is retiring in 2026. He made that announcement today. So that's pretty significant media news here. He's a guy that's been around St. Louis for a long time. I don't have the breakdown in how many years Mike covered sports versus news because he was, you know, for those people who aren't here, maybe more than that.
Yeah.
And then he crossed over to the news desk. I was over at KMOX and they were watching Sue. I don't know if you remember this. I don't. Maybe it was before I came back in 2006. But when Karen Foss said goodbye on Channel 5, mm-hmm. Mike Bush got very, very emotional. It was a great moment.
Yeah.
On television.
They were very close.
He's a legend. But look at the media climate. Here's where I get a little concerned. Ready Not, we know, leaves unceremoniously a few months ago, I guess, at this point. Mike Bush is gone. I don't know. I hope it's his decision, but we know the reality.
Too.
The realities of the money in media are they're not offering you the contracts that they used to.
Right.
And there's a benefit to them to say, okay, it's time to retire and we're going to hire more people straight out of journalism school because we don't have, you know, the audience that we used to in
and
the ad dollars.
Here.
And it's the reality of where media is. Old media is.
And St. Louis is so parochial. And so when you lose people who actually know about the community.
That's the thing.
Like, that's what makes me
There was
sad.
Something yesterday in the Post-Dispatch about this dude. I think he was at Channel, I don't even know which channel, this meteorologist that was leaving. Did you see that?
No.
Like, I've never heard of the kid. Half the times when I watch the live shots, we might be sitting in here doing the show. I don't know who any of these people are. I mean, outside
They're
of some of the
young.
Acres that have been there, you don't know who they are.
Before we go to the next segment, I think there's a guy with a pink slip outside waiting to talk to you, Mark.
That would not shock me. That would not shock me at all.
You're doing great,
weird
Mark.
Times.
How many years have you been doing this?
What, radio or this?
Radio.
Since I was 15 years old.
Unbelievable.
It's the only thing that I know how to do. It's 1980. So we're in, how many years is that? Is that 45
years?
Something like
it's
that.
It's just a lot of years.
It is a lot of years. Okay, a couple other topics here. John, I'll start with you on this one. Let's go to Trump's speech from the other night. Look, I thought it was terrible. I'm just going to tell you. And the reason, and I kind of predicted it because I've said it this way. You know, you got teleprompter Trump, which is never that good. And as someone who sits here and when he goes on sometimes and he's doing his reading of the teleprompter, it's not very compelling and it's rather boring. But when he has the teleprompter and he can go off the teleprompter, he can weave and he can tell his stories. He's more effective that way as a communicator. When you got to smash everything into 18 minutes and he's just yelling at the camera, I've had more people on my side tell me that they were turned off by that, that he was just yelling at them, than I really did expect. Now, will this mean a whole lot for the midterms or whatever? I have no idea, but I didn't think it was the finest moment by the president the other night.
No, I don't disagree. It was an effective 18 minutes of communication. What I like about someone like Trump is that he's never stops talking to the press, and there'll be something that we're quoting him or saying that he didn't do a good job. Within a week or two, he'll be talking about something else. I do think that what's really interesting to me is that, you know, we finished this first year, 2025, with Trump. It went by so fast. He's all over the place. I think his single best accomplishment was closing the border.
Absolutely.
You know, there's no doubt. I think a vast majority of Americans agree with this. I watched very closely his economic plan, and like they're really riding completely on starting kind of when people start filing their tax returns in January. So like the whole economic plan that they've pursued, including like, you know, pressuring the Fed to lower interest rates and doing everything they can to the stock market to where it is to go into 2026, the midterms, and have the economy surge. You saw the CPI, official measurement of inflation, which I don't think is very accurate, but it came out much less than expected. We are seeing gas at the pump closer to $2.50 than to $3 around here. So I think what he was doing, he was framing the economic backdrop as we go into the holiday season, as we go into 2026. You know, the big, beautiful bill, most of the tax cuts, all the tax cuts came so late that withholding couldn't change. And the estimates are that upwards of $200 billion of additional tax refund money will occur as a result of the big, beautiful bill.
So people will feel that when they file their returns. That. And that's something that they're, I know that they're counting on that. And I think that there's something to that. Yeah. But I also think that the messaging on the part of Republicans, I'm hearing more panic than I might expect in some circles about the economy moving into next year and how that might affect the midterms. Jane, your thoughts here. Did you watch the speech? I can't imagine
you did. I
watched
parts of it. I don't think it matters right now. I think if you see a trend where he starts acting like crazy angry man, that's going to be an issue. And his approval ratings are dipping. And so that he starts.
Well, the Democrats aren't very high either.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm just telling you, though, when that starts to happen, he gets a little nuts. And so I think, if he keeps on with the angry stuff, that will not be good.
I think
it's either
an
aberration or it's not.
He would have been better off the other night just kind of taking questions.
He's
because
great
he does better in that scenario. Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, the speech was absolutely ridiculous. You know, just an old man, you know, screaming.
You can't use old man. You can say anything about the speech, but you cannot use old man after the guy we just had in there. No, that will not be allowed.
At least he wasn't mean.
Oh, yes, he was. It was just everyone covered for him being so mean. He was a mean SOB. There's no doubt about it.
You know, what has he accomplished? You know, if there's one thing I think he definitely has accomplished, it's that we can say Merry Christmas again. I've gotten a lot of cards.
Do you have a 401k?
I've gotten a lot of cards from Democrats that say Merry Christmas, and a couple of years ago that wasn't the case.
Okay.
So I think that's
good.
Actually been
Do you have
a
401k?
Change.
Are you paying gas at
I
the
do
pump?
Have a 401k.
Okay. You think?
And I thought his claims regarding inflation.
But I thought we were going to be in a recession.
His claims regarding inflation were ridiculous.
But your side told me we're in a recession.
Saying I've lowered prices, the price of eggs is down 82%. I go do all my grocery shopping. The price of eggs is not down 82%. It's probably down about 10% from its peak. He should try and learn the value of understatement just once in a while.
Not going to happen.
Just truth, because it's just as good.
Just
10% is still
but
good.
The truth is that inflation has slowed significantly from where it was a year ago. Now, I don't deny that there's some economic issues and some, you know, maybe some warning signs ahead, but I do think, and I agree with you, Senator Lamping, that, you know, the messaging, and I think Republicans know this, they have to be on top of this heading into this next year, because it's going to go just as fast as the last year did, and we'll be at these midterms before you know it.
And he's in the 30s. You know, when you're in the 30s and you're a president, the midterms typically go really poorly for you. So if he loses
the House. It's cyclical. It happens.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who's
there. Loses the House, he knows how bad it's going to be if he gets constantly investigated. That's why he's done the redistricting all over the country and pushed it to try to keep a majority so that House committees aren't controlled by Democrats who can investigate.
But you agree or disagree? Like, if we're sitting here in July and things are rocking in the economy,
it'll be great for him.
But
it's always the economy.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they know that. That's what all their eggs are in that basket. They're lower priced eggs, but they're all in that one basket.
All right, hang tight. One more segment of the roundtable. Actually, I think I lied. We have two.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This might be a day where I call a lot of Audible's roundtable team because there's another story that just kind of cleared and it ties into some things with collegiate athletics. Listen to this one. Kansas freshman Darren Peterson, he's a freshman on the basketball team, superstar. He is shutting it down already. It will not appear in another game for the Jayhawks this season. He's projected to be the number one pick in the 26th draft. So he's basically saying, nope, I'm done. I commit to KU. I'm going to play everything except for the conference games, and you guys are on your own. And this comes right when, you know, we have another quarterback at Mizzou that goes into the transfer portal, which was not unanticipated. But college athletics is crazy right now.
They have got to do something.
It's the Wild West, and it's getting wilder, and I don't know how you fix it.
They need to sign contracts. I mean,
they do. That's the thing. So Ahmad Hardy, this is the thing that's interesting. Today, they post up there, and you never see this in collegiate athletics, right? Kids decide when you do a news release is when they leave, right? Not when they stay. But they did a big thing today. Ahmad Hardy, you know, unbelievable runner, first team SEC, re-signs with Mizzou. Because it's a contract, because he's saying that he's going to stay and he's not going into the portal.
They need to have, I get the NIL. I'm supportive of them getting some money for the money that they make the university. I think I've always been, but these are children, okay? I hate to say it. They're 18 and 19 year olds, and they're making these pro-like decisions, and or their parents or their guardians or their coaches. I mean, it's the Wild West, and you know, I don't know how you coach in this environment. And that's why we're seeing the coach shuffle. And it's not healthy, I don't think.
Here's what's going to happen is private equity companies are going to buy the teams.
Yeah, they are.
And they're going to
exactly
offer them like a $2 or $3 billion lump sum. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to control every aspect of the team. They're going to control ticket, everything. Like, it's already happening now in amateur sports, mostly in the Northeast. And it's
How is that even legal, though? I mean, like in Missouri, it's a charter university. I don't know how you could let
Well, you wouldn't have it in that situation. You'd have to have some different carve-outs to allow that to happen.
It's going to happen.
They can sign management agreements.
You know, if you're... if you're one of these lesser teams, and you, I mean, like what you're saying is
the only way you can.
The way we're doing it now is we're asking donors to donate, you know, tens of millions of dollars for Mizzou to finish 8-4. It's not going to happen. So some private equity guy will come in. So look, I'll give you $2 billion lump sum. Half of it can go to the school. Half of it goes to the sports facilities. And then they'll control all the future cash flows. I mean, it's going to happen. That's how it's going to fix itself.
Unless the NCAA comes in and does what Saban tells them to do and say, look, you get one shot, you get one move, and this idea that you get to, like, you know, leave whenever you want, and the coaching thing, like, that's got to
be out of control. It's in it, and it hurts the kids, and it hurts fans. Yeah. Look, even Coach Strink, you know what he said a couple weeks ago? This was crazy. How about the idea of letting these kids come to a university and – the majority of them leaving without a degree, probably at this point.
Absolutely.
That's what we're doing.
So maybe if they graduate, then his contract will extend automatically. I mean, I think Drink's full of it.
Yeah. Well, why is it his fault?
No, I mean, like, he talks about out of both sides of his mouth. He complains about the system. Meanwhile, he's working.
Well, he's got to live within the system. He knows that.
But he renegotiated his contract for a second time in 2 years, and it's egregious what his contract is.
Right.
It's ridiculous. $11 million a year to finish 8-4. You know. And he's got a 6-year contract, and if they fire him, he's got a $60 million buyout.
That's the landscape, John. I'm not going to defend the agents and what they do with their contracts, but if you don't do that, you risk having him go to another program right now, and you know then you got to start all over again. Right. So I get that. The only thing I would say about all that money is not coming from taxpayer dollars. So we're talking about University of Athletic Department
funds. It
can't
go on forever because donors won't sit there and just give $20 million a year.
Yeah, I'll just say, I agree with what Jane said about the need for contracts, and I agree with what you say about the structural issue, but I don't agree with condemning young people for doing what's in their best economic interest. We would never go to a prodigy plumber or electrician who's 18 years old and say, you've got to finish college, or you've got to finish this trade program. If there's a company that says, we want to get you on a construction site immediately, we would praise that. And so,
no, that's even, not what even, anybody's
even,
saying, though.
But even more, there are people who shame these kids for saying, how can you not care about your education? But from my point of view, especially if you're going to the NBA or the NFL, your shelf life is so
short. Right.
Absolutely.
I mean,
you get hurt, it's
you
over.
You get hurt, it's over. And so your body is in peak condition when you're 20, not when you're 30.
I understand
you know?
That. I do. So the kid,
so
I don't know the details
NBA,
about the
then,
kid.
Right.
But hang on. I don't know the details about the kid at KU, but look, he commits. He plays all these games, however, 10, 12 games. And then because I'm guessing he doesn't want to injure ACL or whatever, and he's going to go number one in the draft, I'm going to say, no, I'm shutting it down right now. His advisors, his parents, they say that that's the best move for him. I get that. But you also have a situation where the teams, like the coaching thing really pisses me off, where you have, and this is the calendar, right? So I get it because, again, the calendar, the way that the portal works, the way that the recruiting works, but you have got to at least say, and the NFL does this, can't talk to these coaches until their season's over.
Totally
right?
Agree.
But they can't do that because then they get so far behind when it comes to recruiting, in theory, and all the portal stuff.
Too
so
bad.
There's a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed. I just don't see anyone fixing it. They're just getting crazier and crazier with a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
Bo Prabula made, I think, $2 million at Mizzou. He was played how many games because he was hurt. He's going to go on and probably do that again for some program. And then we have to decide whether or not we're going to go with the kid that's going to, you know, be the quarterback, Matt Zollers, at the Gator Bowl, or do we go out there and try to spend money for another quarterback? I mean, that's the lay of the land. That's the way it works right now.
But if you commit to a season, you need to commit to a season.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Jay.
I mean,
I agree.
You're not teaching. I mean, they get to get out. If you want to go to the NBA, they do it in basketball all the time. They do one and out, whatever. I'm all for it. And that's a different decision. But once you make a commitment to a team, you finish the season. You don't get to walk out in the middle. I mean, what are you teaching a kid that they get to walk out in the middle? I mean, I want them to better themselves.
You're not teaching them anything. It's a business relationship.
Yeah,
it's not,
right. But you don't get to do that if you've made it, you know, and there should be enforceable contracts. This is no way to run around.
All right, hang tight. One more segment of the roundtable. It's a Friday afternoon, the final roundtable of 2025. Oh, so many things to talk about on a Friday afternoon. We're barely going to squeeze them in on a Reardon roundtable. We have former state senators John Lamping and Jeff Smith, and Jane Duker is going to hang with us in the next hour. John, let me ask this, go back to some national politics. There's so many stories this week. We're not going to get to all of them. Susie Wiles sat down apparently 11 different times. She's the White House chief of staff with Chris Whipple, a reporter at Vanity Fair, for a profile that is not altogether complimentary of the Trump administration. Now, Susie and others have called it a hit piece. I don't think it was as damaging as some people think that it is. I do think there was a lot of stuff in there that, you know, no context was given. But my question is, why the hell would you sit down with someone from Vanity Fair when you're in this White House, John?
Well, of course you shouldn't. If you have the president's best interests at heart, then you would never do something like that.
But he had to know about this and give it a stamp.
And, I mean, he speaks highly of her. But look, her she's the Bush family connection to the administration. She's responsible for Rubio being Secretary of State. She's responsible for Bondi being the Attorney General. She's responsible for no one being prosecuted through the Attorney General's office this whole time. Like from the moment that she was brought into the White House, and everybody speaks highly of her, I've always thought that's the establishment's way to get in.
But Trump loves her.
I know. Well, I mean, he loves lots and lots of establishment people. I mean, and I think she's smart enough to know exactly what she was doing. I don't know why she thought this was a good idea, but this is the idea that they did. Maybe it's just to make sure that the midterms go as poorly as they might, because the base, and I'm speaking like the true mega base, looks at this for what it is, which is it's just establishment people getting their picture taken in Vanity Fair. Out in Franklin County, how many people you think read Vanity Fair in Franklin County?
Nobody.
Nobody. And right. That's 80% Trump country, and that's all across the country where Trump is most popular. They look at this and say, this is what it is. It's just the wealth and the elite enjoying themselves, and they can't help Trump in the end with the base. Unfortunately for Trump, he's never going to be on a ballot again, but he will probably lose the House and be impeached for 2 years thereafter.
Any thoughts on the Susie Wiles piece, Jeff?
Yeah, I don't think the Susie Wiles piece is a problem for Donald Trump. I think, as you said, anybody who's reading that already probably had their opinion made up about Donald Trump, and it wasn't positive. The problem for Donald Trump is that he's emulating a lot of the same approaches that he condemned in Joe Biden, and that became politically problematic for Joe Biden. We all thought that Biden looked out of touch and old when he said, come on, guys, prices are going down. Things aren't that, you know, you guys are doing fine. You just got to look at the stuff that my administration is doing. That's how the 18 minutes came off to me, and I think to a lot of people.
I think to a certain extent there was some of that, right?
Yeah, so, you know, he needs to do something dramatically different, and I'm not sure he's so constituted to be able to make a pivot like that.
Well, he's not.
Right.
Okay, I think I do. I know he's not. Jane.
Well, I just have a minor update. The judge in Springfield denied to dismiss the indictment against Sam Page.
Well, there you go. That's good. Bringing us a little full circle there.
There you go.
Merry Christmas.
Speaking
Sam.
Of judges,
yeah.
I'll fit a few more topics in. I was surprised by this because I thought maybe there would be not guilties on both charges. But Hannah Dugan, the judge in Wisconsin who slipped out the illegal out the back door of her courtroom, was found guilty of one of those charges yesterday. So she'll no longer have a job on the bench. I thought that was somewhat encouraging. We're coming off of this Bondi Beach stuff, too, this week is just horrific. I've said this a little bit because we get so removed from these international stories and we have so much going on here in this country, especially with Trump and the news cycle. But what happened last week at Bondi Beach in Sydney is just horrific. And, you know, this happened for 11 minutes. These were bolt action rifles. Mm-hmm. You could see those guys. There was no automatic weapons here. They had to, you know, pull back the bolt every time that they were shooting. And this went on forever. You had one hero that stepped in with his wife who was killed. They were both murdered. You had another that wrestled the gun away from one of the terrorists.
A Muslim.
A Muslim guy. Yeah, that's right. So it's horrific what happened. But, you know, I see this. I'll give you this example. Like when I have people on my show who are Jewish, Josh Hammer comes to mind. I saw a message today. Jessica Radloff is a friend of mine. She's a big reporter, Hollywood reporter for Esquire, and does a great job. But she's Jewish, and she posted something today, you know, that was very, I was trying to find it here because I think I, oh, yeah. So there's a comment that somebody made to her that said, LOL, synagogue of Satan, talking about being the light everywhere. You all go ruin it. The world hates you and you deserve it. These type of comments, and what she said was, she said, Instagram told me this comment to me does not go against community standards, but it's just an example of hate against Jews that's out there. When I have someone on, the amount of vitriol that is in anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic vitriol that is thrown at some of these people is stunning to me.
I feel like, are you kidding me? And a guy came and said Hamas is better than Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Said it. Yeah. Like, didn't even, and I said, that's a hate crime. What is wrong with you?
I feel real out of touch on this stuff, but I can't, because I can't believe the amount of hate.
It's happening
that's out there.
Everywhere.
The wings of both political parties in this country have a real problem with anti-Semitism right now. I don't. Republicans
can't deny what
we see from Nick Fuentes and the Groypers, and Democrats shouldn't deny some of the stuff we've seen from, you know, people protesting over the last
the president of the board
couple of years. And so, like, both parties need to deal with this, and we're seeing we're seeing that kind of horseshoe nature of American politics where these crazy
they're the same
yeah
they're the same
no
people.
They're not The right's his little tiny online presence. Mm. The left is actually
Congress.
Who they vote for? What party has
on the
complete?
Right, it's some of the leading influencers in conservative.
But who votes for
right now?
I mean, that's different, but we have them elected.
Okay, the Democrats have elected Muslims, okay?
It's not even
the
Republicans that they're Muslim. It's that they're anti-Semitic.
Yes, exactly.
Look at Minnesota.
We had
a congresswoman who was. We have a president of the Board of Aldermen, and she's trying to pretend now that she's not. But, I mean, let's face it. I mean, they believe Hamas. The guy spoke the truth. That's what they think. Hamas is better than being Jewish. That's exactly where we're at in this world, and it's sickening.
Republicans have online influencers. It's not the same.
Well, they are influenced by them.
This area that Tucker and this whole Candace Owens said, they are out of their minds crazy. And there's too many people that are buying into that.
But millions of people listening and following.
Right,
them.
I agree.
And it shouldn't be a condemnation to say, well, Democrats have elected Muslims. Yeah, we have a lot of great people.
But there are Muslims that aren't anti-Semitic.
Yeah, who aren't anti-Semitic. And like we referenced a few minutes ago, it was a Muslim guy that had the courage to go and run and tackle the shooter, in Bondi Beach.
But we have office holders in this country that hate this country who are Muslim. That's the difference. Yeah.
They don't like
this country. They'd rather represent their own country, and they should go back to represent their own country.
And they don't believe in what we believe. And this is East versus West. And if people don't want, if people don't want to face the facts that they are openly, not even subtle, they are openly saying that we want to ruin Western values. We want to overturn them. Okay?
How can you agree with that is
scary.
All right. We're going to just end on a very positive note with the holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. This is the final roundtable of the year. You guys are veterans. You're here all the time. You know I love you and I appreciate it. Thank you, Jeff Smith, for coming in. Great to see you. Enjoy the holiday with your family. John, it's awesome to see you. I haven't seen you in a few weeks, so it's great that you got
see
in
you
here
in 26.
For the final one. Absolutely. We have to recommit to seeing some music in 2026.
Amen.
How about that? Because we didn't get out as much this year. And Jane, you're going to hang out.
I am.
We're going to have fun.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.